Blog Talk Radio.
About my behaviors, about my relationships with men, and how the things that I was doing was not serving me. And then I also had a lot of girlfriends in my life who were also going through very similar types of situations, and I found that there was kind of a pattern or a trend that was going on, and that I really felt that women sometimes do not realize what they're doing, and that's why they keep doing the same things over and over again and still keep getting the same results. And it's frustrating. And then a lot of women are lonely. And I figured, you know what, this is the right time to share this type of information with everyone and maybe can help someone change their lives and also find the love they're looking for in their life.
Okay. You worked in the social service field, am I correct?
Yes.
What did work in the social service field teach you about women in general? I mean, go ahead.
Well, unfortunately, what I found that most of the women were single mothers, and they were struggling a lot. And what I learned most about it is that sometimes people are comfortable in their own misery. Even though they're miserable, even though life is unhappy for them, even though they're having a tremendous amount of struggles, it doesn't necessarily mean they want to change. And that's what I found, I think, is the hardest thing, because change equals the unknown, which equals fear. So a lot of times people don't want to change because they're afraid of what the other side might mean. At least even if you're miserable, you know what to expect in that misery. And so that's what I found the most thing about that type of field, and it was the most frustrating thing for me because, you know, sometimes the little things can make all the difference in your life if you just take the risk and try it.
Okay. In your book, you write about being single, about yourself being single. You wrote that you, when you were single, you turned down marriage proposals, and I'm wondering why.
Well, because after I divorced young, and after I got a divorce, I felt like I didn't really know what I wanted, and I was afraid of being divorced again. I was afraid if I got into another marriage and not being clear on who I am, what I want, what kind of man was right for me, that I would turn around and make the same mistakes that I made the first time. And then I'll be even worse off, because I feel like every time you have a relationship that doesn't go well, it can mess with your self-esteem if you let it. And a lot of times our self-esteem is being chipped away at, and we don't realize it. And so we make decisions based from a place of low self-esteem. And but we don't recognize we have low self-esteem. So every time you get your feelings hurt, every time a man you feel like uses you or you mess with a married man or all these little things, they slowly chip away at your self-esteem. And so the internal messages that are going inside your head are saying things that are very negative to you, and you feel like you're not worthy of a great guy. You feel like the nice guys are boring. You tell yourself all these different things that really are not true, but because your self-esteem is actually low and you're not realizing it.
Okay. All right. As you know, there are single women who are wondering why they're single. You write about how you began to love yourself. How did you learn to do this? I mean, most women think they already love themselves, but yet they're still single, and some of them may be questioning why. Love yourself, and how do you know if you're loving yourself?
Well, you know you love yourself by the things that you will accept and the things that you will not accept. Number one, you know, a woman who loves herself, I think, this is my personal opinion, is that you don't date a married man, because why would you want to be in the dark when you deserve to be in the light?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So that right there saying that there's something that's, you know, that there's something about you that you're okay with that, then that's number one. Number two is if you allow men to treat you in ways that make you unhappy. You know, he might be a single guy, but you're chasing him, you're doing things for him, you're running after him, you're not standing your ground as a woman and saying, look, this is what I expect, and if you don't want to be with me, that's okay, because somebody else will, and I don't have to do things that make me feel uncomfortable or that make me feel like I need to do these things in order to be with you. I don't have to do that, because I am very strong in who I am. I love myself, and I know that I deserve to be treated in a certain way, and I won't accept anything less.
So when a woman says she's not going to accept anything less, how do you think men interpret her?
Well, it depends on how you say something and how you do something. I don't come from a place of you need to be, you know, I'm strong and I'm tough and I'm, you know, I'm this independent woman. I don't come from that kind of place. I come from a place where I have standards. So, for instance, I don't talk to men late at night. And if we're not in a relationship, you're not my man. There's no need for you to be calling me 10, 11, 12 o'clock at night. What do you need to be calling me for? What happened to the rest of the day? What happened at 5 o'clock in the afternoon? What happened at 6 o'clock? Why are you calling me late? That also gives me a sign. If you allow a man to call you late all the time, he's going to do that. But if you say, you know what, I'm not real comfortable with you calling me at 9, you know, I would really prefer that we talk before 9 o'clock.
Okay.
If he's not listening and he continues to call you, that means he doesn't respect your wishes. That means he doesn't cherish you. That means he's probably not the right guy for you, and that's okay. You don't have to answer the phone. You don't have to call. You don't have to cuss him out. You don't have to do any of that. You just don't answer the phone, because you know that for you, you're a woman that wants a man to take you out. It's hard to take you out at 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock at night. You want a man to take you out. You want a man who wants to spend some quality time with you. You don't want a man that wants to come over and lay up, you know, just have relations with you and leave in the next morning. That's not what you want. So you set a standard that says, you know what, I'm not comfortable with that, and I would prefer that you call me before 9. And if he doesn't want to deal with that, then he's not the right guy for you.
Okay. Why did you write that women deserve to have everything they want and more? Because, you know, that's the first time I heard that. And I'm a woman. But you said that women deserve to have everything they want and more. Why do you feel this way?
Well, I think the society teaches us that there's something wrong to have wanting things, like, oh, yes, being selfish, or I don't see why you need all of that. Somebody's always saying something negative about that, but why is it? Why can't you have what you want? What's wrong with that? What's wrong with you wanting a great relationship, a great guy, good health, whatever it is that you want in your life? What is a great career? What's wrong with that? I don't see why you should settle for things that make you unhappy. You know, we're on a journey. This life is a journey, and we only can control three things, really, is what we believe, what we say, and what we do. And if you decide you want to be a talk show host or you want to have your own radio show, you deserve to have your radio show. Why can't you do that? Why can't you have your radio show and have a great guy? Why can't you have that? You know, why can't you have the body you want or the hair you want or whatever it is you want? There's nothing wrong with that, and I think that we don't have to ask permission for that, and I think that goes back to having self-esteem and also goes back to not allowing other people to tell us what we can and cannot do.
Okay. All right. What are the main behaviors or choices that women, that you see women make that cause them what you call, now this is your word, man drop?
Well, again, not setting standards. I used to suffer from the same thing. I know it well, you know, trying to be nice. Oh, well, he asked me on the date. I don't really like him. I'll go out with him once. And nothing wrong with going out with a guy that you're not sure about a couple of times. But you know you don't really like him, but you're lonely, so you go out with him. He, you know, he knows how to play games on you because, you know, your self-esteem is low. He can tell that. And then, you know, once he's tired of you, then, okay, he moves on. Because when a man, here's my experience, when a man really likes a woman, most men will do what is necessary to be with that woman. If a man is not willing to put any energy in you, any time in you, he doesn't really like you. He does not really like you.
Now, that part is true. That part is true because, you know, I've experienced that. I'm 42 years old. And I've experienced that when a man is truly interested, he does what he has to be with you. You're right about that. Right.
Yeah. So, but when we might like somebody who doesn't necessarily like us, and so then
right.
we start the chasing of them because we feel like, well, I'm gonna get this guy to like me, or he does like me, or we talk to our friends and I'm like, well, he likes you, he's just busy, or he likes you, but he just blah blah blah, or he likes you, but it's not true. He does not. A man can find the time, no matter how busy he is, if he wants to spend time with you.
Now
he will find it.
Let's talk just something that you did not cover in your book, but I have a question, and you seem to be very knowledgeable, so I'm going to put the question out. What about Internet dating? Is Internet dating bad? You know what I'm saying, like meeting somebody through the Internet. Do you think that's a bad way to meet somebody, or is it the same to you as meeting somebody in a bar, which I wouldn't want to – I don't go to bars very seldom. I haven't went in years or clubs that often, but what I'm saying is – what is your point of view on Internet dating?
I don't have a problem. I've Internet dated before myself. I have no problem with that. Like anybody else, you have to be, you know, you have to be cautious. You do have to be aware of your safety. You do have to, you know, I definitely suggest I'm trying to communicate maybe more through email on the phone before you meet. Also, being honest, sometimes in Internet dating, there's sometimes, in some cases, a lack of honesty on both sides, not just men, but also women. So, you know, you got to be honest about who you are. You got to be honest about what you want. You got to be honest about how old you are. You know, those types of things, you know, about what you look like, you know. But, no, I don't think anything's wrong with Internet dating. I think that, you know, sometimes people have to do it that way because depending on where they live, you know, you don't really have a choice. And people are busy, and it is difficult sometimes to, you know, meet guys in public because guys are shy. They don't always want to come up and approach you. Women, and I am for old school in the sense of I do believe that men should approach. But I do believe that women should give them signals that allow them the comfortability to approach. So they know that you are also interested in them. You know, you smile. You know, you give them something to say. You know what? Yeah, I like you. I'm checking you out too. You know, so I'm giving you the permission to walk over and talk to me. And so, yeah, I'm old school with that. And there's some women who believe that, you know, I see somebody I like, I walk up to them and I talk to them. And that's fine if it works for you. And that's worked well for you. But for me, I try the more feminine approach, which is being more passive in that regard.
All right. What do you think about the feminist movement and its effect on women when it comes to dating and marriage?
Well, I think the feminist movement is good. I mean, I think that's the fact that we have come a long way because of the feminist movement. I don't want to discount that in any way. I just think that there was an unforeseen side effect, which was that rush for equality also turned a lot of women into men.
Okay.
Not because they were trying to be men, because they work at a job now where in some cases you might even have men who are underneath you. They may be your subordinates. So you have a role or a job that requires you to be masculine, aggressive, competitive. So then you have to come home and turn that off and become feminine, and that's very, very difficult for any woman to do. It takes a lot of skill to be able to say, you know what, let me leave that part of me at the door before I walk into my masculine man.
Okay.
Because a lot of us like masculine men.
Okay.
But two masculine people in a house is tough.
Okay. So I understand what you're saying. What do you think? You have in your book 12 game changers.
Mm-hmm.
That you wrote about 12 game changers. But we'll only talk about three. And we're going to talk about those three when we come back from break. Okay? Listen,
okay.
We have on the show with us Ms. Help I pronounce the name right. Forgive me. Damina Mingo. And she's author of the book, The Game Changers, How to Date Men in the 21st Century. We're going to go to a short break, and then we're going to come back and finish talking to her.
A special event can be very challenging and stressful at times. Our staff of professionals organizes your event down to every last detail, no matter what size. Our creativity and attention to detail turns your ordinary party into an extraordinary event. And decline to provide world-class service. We coordinate quality events. We can provide travel arrangements, accommodations, event sites, papers, florists, photographers, transportation, hairstylists and makeup artists, daily itineraries, and pre-event information such as detailed maps, save-the-date cards, and invitations. Being a custom event planner means that we cater to you. It is our job to find the best possible way to present your event. We have been referred to as Dreamweavers.
When you're searching for the latest news on entertainment, the economy, business, technology, and creative arts, choose
the Digital Conglomerate Magazine.
Not only do they give you all the latest information, but they're there for you 24/7, baby, giving you the 411 and all you need to know, baby. Visit the Digital Conglomerate Magazine online. Just Google us, baby. We're everywhere. Let's get down to business. So you're having that company function or business function, and you need the proper services to get that business menu pumped. Okay, here's the solution. Call Exquisite Barista Services. Exquisite Barista Services has the experience to create a signature beverage for your business or organization. Services also include barista training, custom beverage menu creation, food and beverage pairing, and so much more. Visit Exquisite Barista Services online at www.exquisiteexpressinc.com or better yet, call 210-701-0143. That's 210-701-0143. Don't take your chances on the other man. Get that grand plan and choose Exquisite Barista Services.
All right, listeners, we're back from break. You're listening to Show Talk with Angela Butler. Ms. Damina Mingo is on the line. She's author of the book, The Game Changers, How to Date Men in the 21st Century. Ms. Mingo.
Yes.
Before we went to break, we were talking about 12 game changers, and I said we're going to talk about three. One of them you've already identified and spoke on. The first one that I have is, game changer number six is what you call it. You deserve everything, And then game changer number seven is the art of listening. And game changer number 12 is he really Mr. Right? So in your book you have 12 game changers. Am I correct?
Correct.
Okay. You've already talked about why women should have everything they want and more. So if you want to, you can talk about it again, or you can go on to the one that says The Art of Listening.
Yes, The Art of Listening. Well, you know, when we think about it, people kind of tell you whatever, they tell you about who they are if you pay attention to them. And a lot of times when we communicating with another person, we sometimes want to talk and we want to get our information out there. But a lot of times if you pay attention and listen to someone, they really will tell you a lot about who they are. And a lot of times when we meet someone and the guy might look good on paper or he might look good physically, but we're not really paying attention to the little things that tell us whether or not this guy is right for us or not. You know, because if we know ourselves, we know what we like and we know what we dislike. And when you try to bring two people together, it's a tough job at any age, but as you get older, it's even tougher because a lot of us are set in our ways and we like things done a certain way. So it's really, really important to know exactly what you want in a person and what you want in your life. So when you're meeting someone and he's talking, he's telling you about his life, what he wants to do, you know, or he's not telling you any of those things, that's also like, okay, wait a minute, he's not talking about the future, he's not talking about his plans, he's not talking about, you know, all of those things. If you pay attention, he will tell you whether or not this is the kind of guy that you want to continue dating or this kind of guy who may be marriage material for you. And so a lot of times as women, we're talkers. That's our natural thing is to talk. But what I'm saying is maybe take a step back for a minute and start really listening to what he's saying.
Okay. So being a good listener is important when you're considering when you're out on a date, are you looking for Mr. Right? And listening is what, I guess what you're saying helps you
you determine whether or not. Exactly. And you don't waste your time because, again, as you know, you get older, we have less and less time, but just to be honest. And so, you know, back when you're in your 20s and you could date a guy for 5 years and, you know, whatever. But now you're like, look, 6 months, a year, I should know whether or not this guy is someone I want to spend the rest of my life with or not. And whether or not we're on the same page, you know, make sure he wants the same things as you want. Does he want to get married? Does something even he does he want? You know, sometimes we don't ask those questions either about what are you looking for? You know, you just want to date somebody? Do you want to get married? You know, do you want to have children? You know, those types of things we need to know.
Okay. So let's say a man invites a woman to come visit him, right? And they're both two grown adults. But then what I'm trying to say is when a man invites a woman to visit him, do you think that's appropriate if they've never met before?
Oh, you mean like the first, you mean like either if they just met on the internet or just met
yes.
a person once and now he's asking. Now it's, you know, it's okay for him to ask. There's nothing wrong with him asking. It's your choice to decide whether or not to do it or not.
Okay. I think
he can ask. Yeah.
Okay. Your own words explain how divorce may affect a woman when it comes to dating or wanting to start a new relationship. How does divorce affect a woman?
Well, it depends, too. You know, I had a hairdresser that once told me that she had a client who she saw her in the, she was under the dryer, she saw her looking kind of down. So she asked her, she was like, so what's wrong? You look kind of down today. She said, oh, girl, I'm just going through this divorce. And she said, oh, really? How long, you know, you're in the process of it now? She says, no, it's been 8 years. So this lady's still down about a divorce that she happened 8 years ago. And the reason why I bring that up is, you know, life is 10% of what happens and 90% of how you react to it. And so it all depends on how a woman reacts to the divorce based on the relationship she had with that man, based on the way he treated her, based on how much she loved him, based on whether or not she can let it go, based on if she's carrying some anger because of it. Those things she kind of needs to resolve in herself to see where she is. And a lot of times we don't realize that we have anger. We don't realize that we are very sad still because we really loved that person and it didn't work out. And we haven't let them go in our hearts and in our minds. So it's very difficult. We have walls up. And so there are men who may be around us who even may be attracted to us or like us, but they can't get in. because we're too busy worrying about the guy who's moved on, married somebody else, and probably even have kids by now. But yeah. That can happen too. So it just depends on the woman, or either if it's divorce or any relationship. You know, are you finished? Are you done? Have you released him? Have you moved on?
Okay. You write about single motherhood and old patterns. What were these patterns that you identified? What are the patterns?
Well, just, you know, kind of dating the same kind of guy. And meaning that because I was the same kind of woman, I was attracting the same kind of guy. So it eventually would end up the same way, meaning you date for a few months, it's not really going nowhere, he's kind of stringing you along. And that was because, number one, not knowing who I was, not sure what I wanted, you know, lonely, just kind of dating, just kind of being out there, no real direction. And so you meet guys that are similar to that because they're mirrors of yourself. That's why a lot of times people come into our lives is because they're mirrors of us. And so we could try to learn something about ourselves. And if you're not paying attention or you don't see it or you're blaming other people, then you miss the lesson. And it's hard to grow if you can't see yourself. Hard to grow. And so once you recognize it, now you can step back and say, okay, wait a minute, I don't want these kind of guys in my life, and then maybe there's something about me I need to work on first before I start dating again.
Okay, you write about that there are women who are spending years, years being single and even years without a date. Why do you think this is?
Well, I think, number one, we sometimes don't focus on it. You know, we put our energy somewhere else. It's like, okay, we have a busy career, we have maybe friends, we spend time other, and we don't spend our time thinking about dating because it's tough. It's tough. We don't want to deal with it. It's too much work. You know, I don't know where to begin. You know, maybe I feel like I'm insecure because maybe I gained some weight. I'm not really ready. Which all equals to fear. The fear could be fear of rejection. It could be, most likely, probably mostly fear of rejection, fear of meeting the wrong person, things not working out, whatever. So what we do is we put our energy and our focus and our time in other places. And, you know, I have friends around me that have been in that situation that I know, and, you know, we have these conversations all the time about this, and they talk about, you know, yeah, I want to have a relationship, but they won't put any time, they won't put any energy into that area of their life, so nothing happens. Generally, most of us are not going to be lucky enough to have a man knock on our door. Most of us are not going to be lucky. It happens. I know a few people it did happen to, but in most cases, you have to kind of go on the internet, sign up for, you know, a dating site, or go out into the world and enjoy life and, you know, travel something to meet somebody.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And it's not because you're not attractive enough. It's not because you're too big. It's not because those things are barriers that we put up on ourselves.
So, do you believe men can see or sense that a woman has a low self-esteem?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. Most definitely. Because again, especially men. Men who are older, let's just say 30s and up, they've probably, most cases, unless they've been very, very busy men working on their careers, probably been around a lot of women in their life, either because they had mothers, sisters, coworkers, girlfriends, whatever, and so they know the difference, and they can see it. Body language tells, sometimes it's the way you walk, the way you carry your head, the way you dress, eye contact, whether that you make it or not. A lot of those things are telltale signs about self-esteem.
Okay. You have another book entitled The Dating Revolution Workbook, A 12-Step Journey to Rediscovering Your Power. What is the main theme of this book about dating? Does it have a main theme?
Well, it's femininity. Kind of going back to the fact that a lot of us have become men and we don't realize our power lies in being feminine. And femininity just means really being more passive, being more self-aware, being more in tune with our spiritual side, our bodies, and spending that time to take care of ourselves, you know, pampering ourselves, getting massages, facials, taking care of our bodies, taking care of our skin, taking care of our hair, feeling beautiful, you know, being really being loving being a woman and being desirable and putting our energy there. A lot of times we, instead of all the work we do, we always talk about, you know, work, running, and doing things. Sometimes taking that time to rejuvenate, restore, and relax. And being okay, I love being a woman. I love my body. I love who I am. Being in touch with yourself. And that's kind of what the journey is you figuring out, here's where I'm at and here's where I want to be. And part of that is, how do I get there? And a lot of times we don't know how to get there. So the steps are taking you through the journey of releasing old habits, releasing old thoughts, forgiveness, forgiving people who you felt has done you wrong, that you may be holding on to that anger inside of you, so you're not feeling that love, that spiritual love that you should have with yourself, because you're mad at your father, you're mad at your ex, or you're mad at whomever, because they didn't treat you right. And you may be right, they may not have treated you right, but forgiving them is not about them, it's about you. It's about releasing it so you will feel better, so you will enjoy the world, so you will have a better life. So that's kind of what the workbook does. It takes you through that journey of the different areas of the life that women have difficulties in, and walks you through and gives you exercises and asks you questions and makes you think about things that you may not have taken the time to think about.
Okay. So, when you know it's Mr. Right and they don't know they're Mr. Right, does that cause women, do you think, in your opinion, that causes women to not want to date as much because the men they're attracted to aren't really interested in them?
Well, you have to ask yourself, if you're interested in a man who's not interested in you, first of all, you have to figure out, why are you interested in that man? Is it because of the way he looks physically? Is it because of how much money he has? Is it because you like his lifestyle? What is it about the man that you feel like he's Mr. Right? And if that is the case, if you like men who are, you know, sexy and take care of themselves and dress nice, and there's a lot of women who like men like that. So then you have to look at yourself in the mirror and you have to say, okay, I like a man who looks this way, acts this way, carries himself this way. Now, do I resemble any of those things?
Okay.
Because people like people like themselves. If you like yourself, you like somebody like you. So if you look completely opposite of what that guy looks like, then that makes sense why he may not be looking at you or may be not attracted to you, because he likes himself. He likes him. So he wants somebody who's like him. If you're not like him, then, okay, that probably explains why he's not interested in you. So that doesn't mean you can't change some things. That doesn't mean you can't fix those things. If you want to, you don't have to. That's a personal choice. But if the guy you like and you continue to be the same, you have to ask yourself, am I willing to make the changes to attract the kind of guy that I like?
Okay. A little something for the men. I know your book is not all about men. It's mostly about women. But from a man's perspective, when they, let's say, go out and, let's say they're at a club and they're looking at a woman. What, you said most men are looking for someone that kind of mirrors themselves. Most people are, and men too.
I think so. I think that we tend to like somebody similar to ourselves. I mean, there might be some exceptions to that, but in most of the cases, people attract, even like your friends. If you look at your friends, people who are around you, you all generally have something in common. Very rarely are around people we have nothing in common with, that we hang around with, talk to, because you have to have some kind of commonality there. Because when you talk about somebody that doesn't speak the same language as you, for instance, I mean literally, but I just mean that it just So generally, we tend to attract people that are similar to ourselves in some way. So, as I said, if a man, now the men may choose women other than that because of different reasons. Again, my understanding from what I've heard from men is that it depends also what they're looking for at the time. It's different from a man who wants to marry you than a man who wants to sleep with you. If a man is looking for somebody to sleep with, that's a different thing than he's looking for somebody to be in a relationship with. So he might see you out and he might approach you, and you may not be necessarily like him, but he may think you're an easy person to get in bed with.
Okay. All right. So you started an organization, GirlKnow.com.
Yes, GirlKnow. Yes.
And why did you start this organization? Why did you feel there was a need for this organization?
Well, basically, it's pretty much it's a website, it's a resource website for women who want to do, be, love, and live better. Because I think a lot of us, you know, we really want more out of our lives. We really don't want to have a job we hate every day. We really don't want to drive 3 hours one day to work, you know, one way to work. We really don't want to be stressed out all the time. We really don't really want these things, but unfortunately, we don't know any different because maybe that's how our mothers lived, or that's how our grandmothers lived, or that's how our aunts, our friends live. Everybody kind of lives similarly, so we don't really know how to change that. But we're not really happy. I spent years of my life, too, having jobs I didn't like at times, you know, and just like, why am I doing this? Because it's what you do. People get a job, they go to work, they come home. You know, it's kind of what everyone does. And we're saying, girl, no, you don't have to do that. You don't have to do that. You can actually decide to do something different. It doesn't matter if everybody else is doing it. If you want your life to look a certain way, that's okay. And there's other people who have their life that way. There's people... I was just talking to a guy earlier, this guy, but he was like, oh, I'm going to 10 different countries in a week. I mean, who does that? Very few people get the opportunity to go to 10 different countries in a week's time. I thought that was fabulous. But he made a choice in his life. That's the way he wanted to live it instead of having a 9-to-5 job. And there's nothing wrong with having a 9-to-5 job if that's what you want and you like it and you love it and it brings you joy. So there's nothing wrong. But we're saying we want you to have joy in your life. We want you to be happy. We want to see women walking around with smiles on their faces every day. So that's why me and my co-author and partner.
Let's say a man has his own business. He invites the woman down to visit him, and he says it's more convenient for you to come down to see me than it is for me to come you because let's say they have a job that's very demanding.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but let's say he tells the woman he really likes her, but then he turns around, and when the woman's in a bind, he doesn't help her. I mean, you know, it's not. Do men consider women who ask them for money hungry, or anything like that? I mean, you know, do they consider? Do men interpret it as a woman being money hungry or just after their money?
I think it depends on the way the relationship was established, and I think it depends on the man and his issues. So don't get me wrong, men have issues just like women do, and it depends on also, I think, how long you have been dealing with the person. So your first question was, if a man invites you to come down to see him because he doesn't have the time, that to me, I don't know, because I think, again, I always think that a man can find the time when he really wants to find the time. And even just a weekend, you know, I think he should at least do the initial first time coming down to see you. I think he should make the effort to do that because, again, as a woman, you are worth the effort. You are a beautiful person. You're a beautiful woman. You are self-love. He needs to come to you because, again, you can find a man in your local area. So you don't need to get on a plane, travel to see him because he says he don't have the time. No, he does have the time if he likes you enough to make the time. So that question. And the second one is asking them for money. I think it depends on the relationship. And I think a lot of men like to be the providers to women they like. So if a man likes you and you know a man likes you, then I don't think there's anything wrong with asking for it, as long as it's not being abusive, as long as you're not trying to use him, as long as it's coming from a good place and it's something that you need. And, you know, if you're not in a relationship with him, that's another sticky situation. If he's your man, that's a totally different thing. But if you're not his woman, quote unquote, then that, I think, has a lot to do with the relationship that you've established with each other.
All right. So that just about concludes most of my questions. Would you like to tell my listeners where they can go and buy your books?
Yes, it's at Amazon. You can go to Amazon.com, and you can just put in the title, The Game Changers, How to Date Men in the 21st Century. And you can also go to the website at www.gurlknow.com.
Mm-hmm. I have one more question. Do you think a woman's ever too old to marry?
No, I don't. I don't like putting limitations on life. I mean, you know, I have, you know, this is a man, but my grandfather's 88 years old, and, you know, he has a younger woman who's 25 years older than him. So if men can do these types of things, why can't women do them? Why can't women do, why should we limit ourselves to anything? If there's a man willing to marry you at 70, why not get married?
Right.
If that's what you want. Yeah, why not?
All right. Well, is there anything else you'd like to say that hasn't been covered in the interview?
No, pretty much. I hope that this was information was helpful. You know, feel free to email me at my website. You know, you can email me at gethelp@gurlknow.com. If you want to ask any questions or anything, I'm always willing to help. And I definitely appreciate being on the show and getting to talk to your listeners.
And I thank you for coming on my show. I thank you very much. I hope I pronounced your name right. I know I said that early.
Mingo. Yes.
And you are the author of The Game Changers, How to Date Men in the 21st Century. It's been a very interesting and enlightening interview. I thank you for coming on the show.
All right. Thank you. Have a good day.
You too, Miss.
Bye.
All right, listen, you've been listening to Miss Domina Mingo. She is the author, as I've said earlier, the author of Game Changers, How to Date Men in the 21st Century. She's also author of another book, The Dating Revolution Workbook, A 12-Step Journey to Discovering Your Power. So for those of you who are interested, go out and check her book out on her website, girlknow.com. And listeners, I hope you enjoyed the show. Thank you all for listening to the show, and I hope to be back tomorrow, God willing. Thank you all. Good night.